of God. What is the meaning of all this, O God? There speaks of three things. The name speaks about His power. The heart speaks about His love. And the one in between, the eyes, speak about His wisdom. If you ever study carefully the Bible, name always connects to power. Eyes always connect to knowledge. The eyes of the Lord run through to and fro. The eyes of your understanding. Eyes always connect to wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Heart always connects to love. The love of God. So God was saying to Solomon three things I will put in the temple. I will put my power there. So that anyone who needs a postal address or power, they will go there. Then I will put my knowledge there, my wisdom. Anyone who wants to know more about me and more about the life and the world that I created for them to live here, they can go there too. And then God says, I will put my heart there, my love will be there. So that anyone who wants to feel my heartbeat, they can go there and they will be in my presence and they will feel what I feel. Oh, hallelujah. Three things. And those three are always intimately connected. You know why? God never gives His name without His love. God never gives His love without His name. And God never manifests His name without His wisdom or His word. Because without His wisdom and knowledge, you don't know how to use His name. The three are all intricately connected. When they come into our receiving side, Paul describes it in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and he says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but He has given us three things. The spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. The three things again. Love is His heart. Power is His name. Sound mind is His wisdom. And God intends to give us all three things. So if you ever seek for God's power, remember, you have to be balanced and seek for His love too. All the three are never separated throughout the Bible. They grow proportionally. They are like a set of things that go together. Like for example, electricity, heat, and light always are connected. If you have electricity, you will have some form of heat, right? Because electricity produces heat. Heat produces electricity too, right? Solar cells. And then light. The three things are connected, but sometimes they're in different proportions. And human beings are quite clever at that, in that if they want electricity to produce more heat, they put it into certain, you know, different metals, and then it produces more heat than light. They want more light, they use a different metal. But they are always connected. You never have it separate. Even if they want to minimize heat, they couldn't, because electricity in itself contains the element of heat or the force of heat. Heat energy. So in the same way, those three always go together. And then we go to the last final area in Solomon's life. The sad part. Get your towels ready, please. Alright. Solomon fell. There were six things he did that were wrong. Way back before there was a king, God said, if ever a king comes to the throne, he must do these things. And I believe Solomon never read that part carefully. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 17. This is when Moses was still around. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Under verse 14, it says, principles governing kings. And these are the things that king must not do, or some of the things a king must do. And we describe six of those things that Solomon did, that Moses said a king must not do. Verse 16. But he shall not multiply horses for himself. He can have some horses, but don't have too many. You have to keep one finger in Deuteronomy 17, while you turn over to First Kings chapter 10, verse 26. And Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horsemen, whom he stationed in the chariot cities and with the king in Jerusalem. The king made silver as common, etc. And then verse 28. And Solomon had horses imported from Egypt, Keva. The king's merchants brought them in Keva at the current price. Solomon multiplied horses. He broke commandment for kings, number one. The king must not multiply horse. Now you know why he fell. He didn't fall suddenly. Nobody falls into sin suddenly. Nobody commits adultery suddenly. Nobody steals suddenly. It is slowly, slowly, gradually. You justify yourself into it. One step at a time. So all Solomon did is got distracted by his new hobby, horses. And after horses came women. I don't know why they're so closely connected. That's me. But chapter 17, verse 17, it says, neither shall he, Deuteronomy 17, verse 17, neither shall he, that is the king, multiply wives for himself. But chapter 11 of 1 Kings, verse 1, tells you that Solomon loved many foreign women. Verse 3, he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines. No wonder he has problems. That makes 1,000. Imagine, you know, go to his, when he goes home at night, there's 1,000 of them greeting you. He broke God's command. Number two. Number three, Deuteronomy 17 says here, in verse 16, the inner section, it says, middle part, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. God emphasized, they must not return to Egypt. Solomon not only returned to Egypt, he married Pharaoh's daughter. In the book of 1 Kings, tells us here, in chapter 9, verse 24, Pharaoh's daughter came up from the city of David to her house, which Solomon had built for her. Then he built the Milo. Now here, Solomon married Pharaoh's daughter. And he had close ties with Egypt, which God said, you must not have. And if he began to break God's command one by one in these areas, sooner or later, you're going to break the worst. If you can break the small, small, small commands, it won't be long before you break the big ones. And he's heading downhill. Commandment number four that he broke in chapter 17 of Deuteronomy, verse 17, nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. And in chapter 10, 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 27, the king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stones. There is a limit that God will allow a king to possess, so that the king would not be too distracted. And Solomon kept on multiplying against God's command. God is not against him having silver and gold. what God was against him having so much that it will be a distraction to him. Take too much time to handle. My friends, if you want money, money, money and prosperity, learn the limits. Because the more money you have, the more time you need to spend handling that money. It's proportional. There is a certain limit where you can have, you know, at the lower scale, you need to spend a lot of time to gather wealth and earn money. The less skills you have, the harder you work to earn the same amount of money. But then there is a maximum point where you reach a point where it's just nice. I mean, and you have moved into prosperity where that amount of money gives you more time to do more things that God would enable you to do. But then when you pass that point, you move into what in the special kind of maths, they call it the maths is a new type of maths called the study of chaos. And chaos actually is quite harmonic, and I'm presently working on a study on that for the third book on quirk theory, because I need that kind of maths in order to explain. I think more in pictures than in figures, and I struggle with calculus. It's not good enough. We need to go into this kind of maths to explain the rotation. And in that kind of maths that study chaos, they call it solitons and fractals. It says here that when a chaos goes into a certain direction, and for example, you could keep turning the water. What happens if you keep turning a tunnel of water and you keep turning and turning it? From the, you put a long little tube inside. You fill a tube, round cylindrical tube with water, and you put a little tiny cylinder right in the center where the right in the center of the radius, so that it's like two circles. And you turn the inner circle and you turn it as fast as you can. What will happen? At first the water will turn round, circular. But you increase the speed that it turns, after some time the water doesn't turn round anymore. It breaks up into what I call chaos. It breaks into chaos where some of the water begins to turn this direction round. It still goes round, but it has its own circle going round. And then if you turn faster still, it goes into all kinds of chaos before it gets into a pattern of harmony again. And that same maths is able to explain today when they send the Voyager out to study, to take pictures of this solar system. They found that between Satan's rings, the planet after Jupiter, when we talk to Christians, right? When we talk to Christians, they talk about Saturn, you know, they think, is it S-A-T-A-N or S-A-T-U-R-N, right? I'm talking about the T-U-R-N one. And they found, scientists, when they see from the Earth all these interesting things, they saw little gaps on Satan's rings, and they thought it was caused by sound vibrations. But when they examined it and the special satellite went there and photographed, they found that that could not explain it. But this new type of maths could explain it, because in between each one of those gaps, Satan's rings as gaps, they found that it harmonizes systematically according to what this maths predicts. So basically, to simplify it for the rest of us, what it says is that chaos has a cycle. It has a cycle of a pattern, beautiful harmony. Then it is chaos again. And then as you keep on increasing that turning, it moves into a harmonious area again. And then it's in disharmony and in harmony again. It seems to be a rapid pattern. And what happens here, right, that